two men bring an offering to the Lord. One of the fruit of the ground, the other the firstborn of his flock. God accepts one and rejects the other. Why? Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. The word tells us clearly that the offering Abel brought was the firstborn of his flock. But it doesn't say that Cain brought the first fruits of his crops. It simply says, in the process of time, Cain brought an offering. Cain harvested his crops and over time gathered enough to bring an offering. It was an offering on Cain's terms. God accepted Abel's offering because it was the first of his increase. Cain's offering was rejected because it wasn't the first of his. Giving the first to God requires faith. When a firstborn lamb is born in a flock, it's not possible to know how many more lambs that you might produce. But Abel gave his firstborn lamb in faith, whereas Cain made sure he had enough for himself before giving to God. Many of us treat God the same way as Cain, making sure we have enough money before we see if there's anything left for God. Even if we give from what's left over, God can't accept the offering because it's not the first fruit. Other stories emphasize this truth. In the account of the fall of Jericho, the Lord gave strict instructions that the Israelites were not to keep any of the spoils from Jericho. All of it belonged to him, the Lord declared. Jericho belonged to the Lord because it was the first city conquered in the Promised Land. It was the first fruits. God withheld his blessing from Israel when one man took some of the spoils for himself. The first belongs to God. There was much more at stake than money when Abraham offered his firstborn son Isaac. When God asked for his son, Abraham didn't wait to have 10 sons before giving Isaac. He gave the first when he only had one to give. Abraham had only the promise of having more sons. It took faith for Abraham to offer Isaac, faith that God respected and blessed. And God did the same for us. He gave his first in the form of his son, his first and only begotten son, who was given to us while we were still sinners. God gave Jesus in faith that we might one day give our lives to him. The gift of his son came before the blessing of our repentance and salvation. We give our first fruits in much the same way. Before we see the blessing of God, we give it in faith. Giving the first fruits of your income says to God, I recognize you first. I am putting you first in my life, and I trust you to take care of the rest.
So we're going to continue looking at how God blesses each and every one of you, and his design is to bless you. Want to just welcome our online church family. So glad you're joining us online. We miss you in person, but we understand with COVID, if you're feeling scared to come in person, we understand that. Now, if you just got uncomfortable in your PJs, church family, we miss them here, don't we? We would love to see you here whenever you feel comfortable to come back here. We have some just exciting before I jump into the message. Next week, we have over 3 baptisms taking place. People are ready to go forward with what God's done in their life. If you want to be part of that, we encourage you to sign up online. Talk to me in person or email us, but we want to celebrate that together as a church family. And then just as a reminder, we are going to see 1,000 boxes, aren't we, church? We are going to see that because there's 1,000 kids that need us. We have a lot going on in our world, but they need to know the love of Jesus just as we have known the love of Jesus. So 2020. What a year, right? Man, this week was a ride and fun. I just want to do this week over and over and over again. So uncertain, so up in the air. It's just made 2020 just wonderful. I just lied. Okay. No, it's been chaos, been difficult, been weird. And, you know, that is just kind of the world that we're living in. And, you know, when I write my sermons, how I do it, just a little behind the scenes, is I actually plan my sermon 6 months in advance. So I know where I'm going to preach every week for the next 6 months. And then when I get to that day, I ask the Lord, okay, Lord, is this what you want to say? What's going on in our world? What's going on in our church? Lord, speak to me. And so the message that I had for today, at first I'm like, Lord, this doesn't make sense. But then I'm like, okay, wait a minute, Lord, now it's starting to make sense the more I begin to look at it. And we're actually going to talk about finances today, and just how God desires you to have financial freedom and breakthrough in your life. I believe that with all my heart. And something that, you know, with everything that's happened, you know, one thing that we do as humans is we put our hope in government or people very quickly. We do that. Some of you woke up today feeling secure and like, oh, it's going to be an awesome year. Or some of you woke up feeling fearful. It's like, oh, it's going to be the worst year ever. All depends on who's in the White House. And I think what God wants to remind each and every one of us today is this. It's more important what you do inside of your house than who's in the White House. It's way more important than what you do inside of your home than who we elect. I think that is gets lost in some of all these things is because what happens inside of your four walls will truly change your life in generations to come. And one of the most important things that you will do is how you deal with your finances. What happens with your finances? Because finances are stressful, aren't they? Oh, let's just be honest here. Come on. They're stressful. They're overwhelming. They keep us up at night. We get worried about them. How are we going to pay for this? What's going to happen with this? We try to get a sense of security with our finances. How are we going to take care of things? And so just to be real with you, when my wife and I first got married, we lived off love, not off money. And, you know, we were just loving each other and everything was hunky-dory. And one moment I'm like, you know what? I better check my bank account. See what's going on in that baby. You know, maybe hopefully they're having babies in there, you know, growing it. And I looked inside of it, and there was $13. Woo! Prosperity gospel, right? You know, $13 inside the bank account. And we had a rent payment that was due in about a week. And the person that we were renting from was one of the elders at the church. That was awkward. Okay. And I remember having this feeling, telling my bride, I said, you know, babe, we only got $13. I don't know what we're going to do. And suddenly this feeling of dread, overwhelmness, fear, everything came over me. Felt like a failure. And I know for a fact some of you feel that exact same feeling. You're knee-high in debt. You're overwhelmed. You make maybe money, but yeah, it's going. You don't know where it's going. And you feel like, God, what's going on here? Or maybe you just lost your job and you feel like, Lord, how are we going to make these payments? What's this going to look like? Finances really impact our life if we're just real about it. And Jesus himself, one out of every four sermons that Jesus preached, you know what it's about? Money. Now, why did he do that? Now, one thing about Jesus is he never took up a collection afterwards. He didn't preach about it and says, okay, pass the plate now. He never took up a collection. He taught on money because he wanted people to understand the principles of the kingdom. I believe Jesus has designed it for people not to live paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. I believe that. And we're going to look biblically what God has actually designed. Because if you were like my wife and I, where you're trying to make it and you have like no money and you're feeling overwhelmed and what's it going to look like, there's usually a cycle that takes place. And I want to show you this cycle on the screen. There's things, four things that happen. First thing that happens is worry. So you're feeling the worry. Next thing you know, you start spending. And then after spending, you go into debt, and then you're back to worrying again. So let's break this down. First one, worry. So you are looking at your mortgage bill. You are looking at your car payment. You are looking at that college tuition or the car that you want to buy or even, you know, the dinner you want to buy. And you look at this, and then I can't afford it. What am I going to do? You know, why can't we afford anything? Why are we where we are? And then the next thing, weirdly, that happens is we begin to spend. So I shared with you, I stress eat, and so when I'm stressed, I go to food. I asked my wife if I could share this. She said yes. She runs to TJ Maxx. So when we're stressed, next thing you know, I'll walk to the door, and there's like bags of TJ Maxx all over the floor. I'm like, what in the world? What is going on here? She's like, it was a great deal, but it's like $300. It's not a great deal. You know, and some of you, weirdly enough, we do that, don't we? Suddenly, oh, we don't have enough money. We go out and spend. Like, that makes any rational sense at all. And come on, somebody, give me an amen on this. Do you feel what I'm feeling? Okay, we go spend. And then next thing you know, what happens? We're in debt, up to our eyeballs in debt. And next thing you know, we are worried again. Most Americans, not you guys, because you guys got your life together, okay? But most Americans live this way. And it actually doesn't matter how much money they make or don't make. This is the cycle that most live. And when we say things like, God wants to bless you in finances, all that, this is usually the cycle that you're living. And it's like, well, I ain't seeing the fruit of that. Like, I'm not seeing God's blessing in here. And I think because we're not using the keys that he gave us. God has keys for us. And I actually want to share them today with you. The keys that God gave us, the one you saw it in that video, it's called first fruits. First fruits. I'm going to expand on this. This is really important to understand because I think sometimes we miss the point of first fruits. Proverbs 3:9 tells us this. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first of all your produce. So in American terminology, the first of your paycheck. 22 times in the book of Proverbs, this idea of first fruits is mentioned. Giving God a tenth, giving him a percentage of what you've made. 22 times. God is so adamant about this, he gives us a passage in Malachi that's just kind of mind-blowing when you read it. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe, that word tithe simply means 10, bring the whole 10th% into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it in. That's God's words. So bring me this tenth, this percentage, and then I will open up the floodgates. And now here I'm gonna kind of turn it on you really quick. So I don't have a problem giving financially. It's just how God's made me. It's I don't know why. I'm not actually trying to be bragging. Actually, it's kind of led to bad things in my life because I actually like giving people money. So don't come up and ask for money, but I actually like giving people money. And so when my wife and I were broke, as a joke, we would go to a restaurant because we're stress spending, of course. And you know what I'd do? I'd hand the waiter or the waitress a $100 bill. And my wife would get in the car with me and punch me in the face. Say, like, you're making me buy Goodwill clothes and you're giving out $100 bills? And I'm like, babe, I just want to bless people. I want to take care of them. And my wife and I, we tithed, we gave the first of our fruits, but for some reason, we were going farther and farther in debt. Because I didn't understand the true principle that God was trying to get at. And I remember calling my mentor when I had $13 in my bank account and being like, why? I've given God all my money and I've blessed people and now I'm broke. Like, this isn't working. And he explained to me what this is actually trying, what God was actually trying to do with the tithe. And it's changed my wife and I's life completely. We were able to pay off over 40 grand in a matter of like a year and a half off of one person's income as a youth pastor. Because we understood what God was trying to show with this. And I want to show you the keys. This isn't a prosperity, you send $1,000 in, God will give you $10,000 type of thing. God actually has a principle he wants to share with you. And the principle is the corner of the cake. Do you know that part of the corner of a cake? The best part. Oh, amen, somebody. There is something about that extra frosting that's just heavenly, you know? And I feel selfish, but I always go for that corner. And then there's four corners, so if you're really strategic, you can get all four at once. But, you know, there's these four corners. And that is a picture of what it means to give the first fruit. It's the best part to the Lord. Now, why does the Lord do this? Why does he say, give me the first of what you have? Why is that? God owns everything. I mean, he doesn't need nothing from us. He doesn't need diddly squat from us. He owns everything, but he still asks for a portion. Why? Here's why I believe it is. Management. Management. You didn't expect that, did you? I believe it's about management. Some of you guys are going to like this one. God is looking for us to manage what he's given us. Let me show you a passage of scripture. Genesis 2:5. When God's creating the heavens and the earth and he's putting everything together, it's not on the screen, but I'll just tell you what it is. When he's putting everything together, he actually does this. He says in Genesis 2:5, there's going to be no shrub on the earth. There'll be no plants that will spring up, and the Lord will not send rain. This is what Genesis 2:5 says. When God's creating, he says, I'm not going to put a shrub or a plant on the earth. I'm not going to send even rain. Do you know why? It says, because there was no one to work the ground. He says, I'm not going to send blessing. I'm not going to send life unto this earth until there's somebody to work the ground. That word work in the Hebrew is aragon, which simply means management. That there's not a manager on the ground. And I want to challenge you that maybe why financially in your life there isn't blessing or there isn't life in it is because there's not a manager taking care of what God's given you. Managing what God has given you. C.S. Lewis gave this great phrase. He says, when first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, but increased. When we put the first things first, when we organize our life around what really matters, the second part is often increased. Simple example. Let's take a woman who's a businesswoman, career-oriented. She will spend her time at work and go after work, go after work. And what will happen? Her family will suffer. But if that same person spends the first best part of her time with her kids and her family and her husband and goes after that, oftentimes her work will be blessed. When we put the first things that matter in our life first, the rest is blessed. And so when it comes to finances, the question to be asking yourself is, how are you doing your, how are you managing your finances? How are you organizing it? Because I hate the fact that so many people suffer in finances. I hate that. I don't believe it's what God intended because it steals joy. It's the number one cause of divorce is finances. And God's saying, when you organize your life according to my plan, the way, there's abundance, there's blessing. So God gave us a simple three things. Give, save, live. Give, save, live. This is the God's proper order. Give the first fruits to the Lord. Save in wisdom, and then party off the rest. But most of us, what do? We live really wild, and then we try to save, and then maybe give. And suddenly, our life is flipped upside down. But God says, honor me with the first of your fruits. Because when we set our house in order, when we do what God played out, there's actually blessing in that. New Life as a church, we try to practice this. The first 15%, everything that comes in, the first 15% goes straight to missions. Because that's where our heart is. We want to be a church that blesses missions work. And so we give that portion. In your life, you know, where are you setting it? Now, here's where you are sitting there with your arms crossed, staring me down like you're ready to punch me in the face. I've never seen so much anger in one room at once, okay? When you're sitting there, you're like, don't you dare talk about my wallet. I don't care what you do with your money, okay? But God wants to bless you. And he cares more about your attitude than your heart or how much you give. Let me show you. Because when Jesus was on the earth, there were some really righteous people, really had their all act together. And Jesus came and chewed them out. Let me show you why. Matthew 23:23 says, woe to you teachers, woe to you pastors, woe to you ministers, woe to you righteous Bible study people. You hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matter of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. He's saying, listen, you can give your money and give to the Lord and do all that, but if you don't have the heart, it's more about the heart of the matter. And when God is challenging us with our finances, he's looking for our heart. In the Old Testament, it was very clear, they gave a tenth. When you get to the New Testament, the tenth is not mentioned. Because it's a matter of the heart, what you do with your finances. It's interesting. We let God touch every area of our life except for our money. Every area. But if you say, God, help me manage what you've given me. I love this verse, Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I look really spiritual up here, right? Got my microphone, got my collar, got my Bible. Man, I look like I got my life together. I look like I really care about the Lord, don't I? Kind of, okay? But if you really want to see where Tim Agramson's real heart is at, do you know where you look? My bank account. If you really want to know where my heart is at, you look at my bank account. You would see where I spend my money. I can say everything up here and do all the right stuff, but the heart, where it's actually going, because where my treasure is, my heart will follow. And God's asking you, where are you putting what he's given you? How are you managing what he's given you? God has given you, I don't care if you're making 15 or 150,000. It's a question of management. How are you taking what he's given and using it for his glory? There's a great picture of this. The rich young ruler throughout the Gospels, there's a scene where this rich young ruler comes to Jesus. And he's wealthy, he's good looking, he's got his Mercedes Benz, he's got his life together, he goes to church, and he comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Sell all that you have and follow me." And he has probably what my response would have been. Like, maybe not. And he walks away sad. But he's like, "You know what? I like you, Jesus, but I'm not going to sell my Mercedes Benz. Are you joking? You know, I'll buy a McDonald's gift card for you, but that's about it. I ain't going beyond that." But do you know what's interesting? That passage always made me kind of feel guilty. Like, "Lord, I don't know if I could give up everything. That's hard." But you know what is the next story right after that? A story of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and he was really wealthy too. But he was just kind of a dirtbag and stole from people and just wasn't very good. And Jesus comes to him and says, "Zacchaeus, I want to get into your life." And know what Zacchaeus does? He sells a half. He gives away a half, 50%. And you know what Jesus says? "That's it. Look at that. That's amazing." Now, is that weird? One, he says, get rid of everything, and the other is just a half. The point is, it's not about the percentage. It's about the percentage of your heart. How you view your finances, how you view what God's given you is what matters. And he gave us the key of the first fruits, because you know what the key is? If I can't give God my first, I will usually give him my last. If God doesn't get my first, if he can't have my first, he will often get my last. And what Jesus does with this idea is when I give God my first, suddenly I am showing where my heart is, my treasure is. And we're not going to get into gross, net, how many percent, what. It's the matter of your heart. Put your treasure where you want your heart to follow. Where do you want that? You know, if we really care as a church, and I know we do, about kids in need, you know what we do? We do shoe boxes. Not if we feel like it or not, we just do it. One of the worst things that happens to us is that we give based off of how we feel. Because let me show you. How many of you, well, you don't have to raise your hand, this is too personal, but okay. For me, I often give when I see a need. So if I'm driving down the road and I see somebody off the side of the road that needs something, suddenly I give. You know, I'll look through a change or gift card and I try to give them something. Or, you know, I watch puppies in cages on TV and it's like, well, I don't give, my wife would want to, but you know, it's like you care for that situation or you go to a fundraiser. A lot of us give either out of guilt or out of an emotion. But the danger of this is we sometimes don't give because of our emotion. Because we're like, you know what? I don't want to give because that person's a butt. And I just don't want to care. And you know what? I don't want to do this because I don't feel like it today. That's not right. Or I feel fearful, so I'm not going to. And what Jesus is teaching us with this key is you give despite how you feel. You give him the first fruits of what you have. It's this, you know what? No matter what, Lord, you get this. Let me give you a cool God story what happened even this week with me. So my wife and I have been practicing this for the last several years, and the Lord has blessed us in an amazing way. I mean, if you've seen our cars, I'm not talking prosperity gospel stuff. I'm just saying we're blessed. And so started to say, okay, Lord, we're going to manage what you've given us. This is not ours. This is yours. And so this past week, one of my amazing vehicles, my super expensive, awesome truck that looks like a shark bit the back of it, finally broke down, just kaput it on me. And actually, the brake pads flew off the back as I was driving. I'm alive, okay? But it was kind of scary. But, you know, we go into the deal. At first, I try to do it myself. I try to fix it, and Kirsten's like, get that thing into the shop, Tim. You know? So we took it into the shop. Around $1,000, close to $1,000 repair. Ugh. But you know what? Because Kirsten and I have been following this, we could pay it. We had an emergency fund set up. No big deal. And Kirsten's like, thank you, Tim, for just paying it instead of trying to fix it. To me, that is being blessed financially. That is that we're not worried about the $1,000 because we've been giving, we've been saving, and we've been living. When we do that order, God blesses. God takes care. And I would preach the exact same message in Africa. When I was in Africa, this exact same principle applies. When we give God the fruit, the first fruits of what we have, we set up a portion. When the first mention of giving in the New Testament was done, when like the first time it was actually mentioned from like a church setting, you know, which is always kind of an interesting setting, look at how Paul talks about it. 1 Corinthians 16, it says this. Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. So bottom line, he's like, I've been telling all churches to do this. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so when I come, no collections will have to be made. I love this because watch what God's getting at. It says this, do what all the other churches are doing. On the first day of every week, budget, each one of you set aside a sum according to your income. This is between you and God. Set aside, but do it before your emotions get into it. Set aside before your emotions get wrapped up in this. Because the worst thing we can do is like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. Set aside. And so that when I come, when Paul comes to that church, he doesn't say, okay, it's time to pass the plate. The awkward moment, let's pass this plate. Guilt tripping you. He says, no, set this aside, and whatever you give, we're going to use this to bless the churches. Now, what's interesting about this, they're looking to collect for the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was more poor than this church. And this church was more blessed, so they set aside income so that they could bless the church in Jerusalem. And so this concept is saying, Lord, I set aside a portion based off what my income is to bless other churches, to bless your kingdom and your work. It's not this guilting thing. And so this key, I believe, is truly where there's freedom, is because if the Lord can really control our finances, I believe he begins to bless it. But you can make a lot of money, but yet still be very poor because we're not managing what God's given us. If you realize, if I gave you a $100 bill, which I won't, but if I did, and I gave you a $100 bill, and I said, hey, go make me more money. Go do something for me, and then in a week I'm going to ask you to come back. And you go to McDonald's, Starbucks, you know, Caribou, and you buy a picture of, you know, Spider-Man offline, and you come back and say, here's what I did with it. I feel like you weren't a good steward of it because it's mine. And this is God's money. So how are you managing what God's given you? And when it's that first fruit, it's the first of what God's given us. The ultimate picture of this was Jesus. Jesus is that first fruit offering. Jesus was given for us. He was given to us. And I love this because it wasn't like Jesus or God one day was like, you know what? Those people are messed up down there. You know what? Let's give them Jesus. You know, just based off, we need to do something about this. God pre-planned, foreordained Jesus to come to earth. 1 Peter 1:20, this is New Living Translation, says, God chose him, Jesus, as a ransom long before the world began, But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. Before the world began, God set Jesus apart to be given for ransom for us. And the same thing that I believe God asks you to do with your finances is pre-plan to manage what God has given you. To say, okay, Lord, this is not my own. This is yours. How do you want me to use it? Give the first of it to you into what you want to do. Preparing this message, I was looking in the light of, you know, everything that's happening around us, all that's going on in our world around us. And I had all these thoughts of like, hey, I need to preach on peace or on God's kingdom. And I felt like the Lord said, Tim, government will change year by year by year. But what happens in people's homes is what will transcend time. What happens in their homes. And as I preach this, I've never got so many frowns from you guys before, because money is personal. Money is, it's we feel like it's ours. And God's like, it's all his. I was actually reading my devotions this morning, Psalm 24. And it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Think about that. The earth, that chair is God's that you're sitting on. That hairspray that you used this morning is God's. Everything is the Lord's. And you know what happens with that? We become grateful for what we do have. We're like, Lord, you let me have that truck and it started this morning? Awesome. Instead of, man, goodness, look at that. Lord, why don't I have that truck? Everything that I have received in this life is from God. How dare I get possessive? It's his. And I give it to him freely. And this is between you and the Lord. He's looking for your heart in this. And that's why he says the first of your fruit. Can you imagine being Cain and, you know, bringing yours, offering, and getting rejected? Like, what? I still did it. I did what you asked me to do. God's like, no. It's the first. It's your heart. And as we go through the chaos of this world that we live in, your home and your finances, nobody on the outside is going to fix that. But God has given you whatever you have. I don't care if you have $13 in your bank account or if you have $130,000 in your bank account. God's looking for managers of what he's given us. God has blessed you so much. Do you realize that? You're so blessed. Oh my goodness, I'm going to go a little Tim Preacher moment for a second. You are so abundantly blessed. It's just America that's telling you you're not. God is richly poured out, and I feel the Lord actually speaking to me right now. I feel like Satan has gotten into people's hearts when we get possessive and get coveting and we want more, we're not satisfied, and God has richly blessed you. You are so blessed. And if you realize it's all to the Lord, this is God gave me this, it changes everything. It changes all that we have, because all that we have is his. And then he not just gave us stuff, which we don't need. We have garage fulls of all that crap. He gave us his son. He is the most generous God. He gave us crap that we don't need and his son because he loves us. We better kill that coveting spirit inside of us. We better say, you know what, Lord? This is not my own. It all belongs to you alone. That just rhymed right there. I should make a hymn right there. Actually, I really feel like the Lord just spoke to me right there. Because what can happen inside of us is we actually get defensive when it comes to our money. And whoop-de-doo if you guys give it to New Life or not. That's not the point of this. It's between you and God. And I think God's like, I want you to be blessed. But you first have to realize that you are blessed. You first have to realize I'm blessed. And my wife and I, we looked at each other the other day. We moved. We're in a house far away. Car's kind of falling apart. But suddenly it hit me like, man, babe, we're blessed. She's like, I know. I thought the same thing. Like, we're so blessed. And it doesn't matter how much you have or don't have. You're blessed. And you turn to your neighbor right now, because they need to hear, it's not you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're blessed. You're so blessed. God has blessed us richly. I want to invite the worship team forward. Ooh, I just got excited there. Bring out my old Texas style. But I just don't know. Maybe I just get tired of all the rules and regulations of how you're supposed to do church. But it's just like, man, God, you're so good. You're so good. And even in his word, it's like he gave us a principle. And we even fight against that. It's like, he's like, here's my principle. It's like, oh, I don't know if I want to do it. It's like, here's my principle to bless you, to take care of you, to give you abundance. I encourage you, use that key. My wife and I, we did our Sabbath this week that I preached last week. Dude, we planned it, we scheduled it, and we partied on it. It was awesome. And we looked at each other and said, man, we have felt more rested today than we have in years because we actually did what the Lord told us to do. And it's like the same principle. Just take these keys, guys, and say, Lord, Lord, do something with this. It's faithful. It's scary. I don't know. But Lord, I trust you because you're good. You're so good. I'll give you my first fruits. Whatever that looks like between you and God. But I'll give this to you, Lord, trusting in you. Knowing that you got me. It's not mine. And let God just do the amazing work. And as we close, we're going to take communion this morning. And man, it's easy to talk about communion right now because we're simply remembering the gift that he gave us. The firstborn of all creation, his son. I like you guys, but I would never give Declan for any of you. Never. But Jesus was given by God for us because he loves you. He gave freely. And we get a chance to sit here on our padded cushions in our cute little cups and remember that amazing gift and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being generous to us. And so at your seat, you can peel off that first cover, as Tony explained. At home, you can grab your juice and your bread. And as you open them up, if you don't have one, put your hand in the air. Andrew will get you one. Put your hand high in the air like we just don't care. Andrew will get you one. Pretty girl in the front over here needs one. That's my wife, by the way, if anybody's wondering. But as you open that up, take the bread. This was his body, which was broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of him. And then in the same manner, Jesus used wine. We have these little cups of grape juice. Open that up. And this is his blood that was given for you. Let's drink it in remembrance of him. What a wonderful gift God has given us. How blessed we are, richly blessed by him. And so we're going to have a chance, if you just need prayer this morning, if there's anything going on in your life where you just need prayer, we're going to have people on the front and on the sides that would love to pray with you. But I want us to give God our voices, give God our hearts, and thank him for the gift that he gave us by his son. So would you guys stand with me? Let's sing these two songs. What a wonderful cross as a remembrance of what he's given for us.